So good to see you. Welcome. You are getting in on the front end of one of my favorite series of the year, I Heart Chula Vista, where this series is all about us talking about, and not just talking, but doing it, how we can be a church that blesses our city, that we want to be a church that if we actually cease to exist, the people who don't go to our church that live in our city would actually notice. We want to be a church that when people who don't believe like us think about us or see us, that they would go, man, I don't believe what those crazy Eastlake people believe, but man, I'm so glad they're in our city because they make this place better. And we want to be Jesus people that our neighbors would say that of us. Man, I don't believe what those, you know, Jesus people on our street believe, but I'm so glad they live here because they're fun. Like, because, man, they make our community of our street a better place to be. That's what we're talking about, how we can be people that bless our city and how we can be people that bless our neighborhoods and our neighbors. Now, as we begin today, I want to play a little game called Famous TV Neighbors. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to show you a picture on the screen of a famous neighbor in a television program, and then you have to say out loud who they lived by, okay? And you want to be the first one in your little group sitting together to say it out loud, because you will get a point if you say it first and your friends will not. And here's why this is important, because the person with the lowest score at the end of this game buys for everyone else they're sitting around, all right? So we got some skin in the game here, people, all right? So, famous TV neighbors, I'm going to put up a picture, and then don't say the name of the TV show, say the name of the actual people that they live next door to. Everybody understand the rules? All right, here we go, famous TV neighbors. We're going to go all the way back to black and white on this first one, Fred and Ethel. Who do they live by? Desi and Lucy. All right, that's right. That's who they live by. Some of you that are 35 and under, you're like, TV was in black and white? I know. How did people live, right? I mean, amazing. All right, here's another one. Tom and Helen Willis. Who do they live by? Jefferson, George, and Louise, right? That's who they, somebody said the names. That's who they live by. All right, here's another one. Kramer was the next door neighbor of? Jerry Seinfeld. Well done. How about this next guy? Wilson. Who did he live by? Tim the Toolman Taylor is the right answer, right down front here. Good job. All right. How about this guy, Urkel? Who did he live by? Winslow's. Yes. That's who he lived by. Winslow's. Famous neighbors. Ned Flanders. Who did he live by? Anybody? Bring that up. The Simpsons. That's who he lived by. And then we got one more. This is for all of you like 30 and under. Squidward Tentacles. SpongeBob SquarePants is who he lived by. Okay. Now, what's amazing is, I mean, a lot of us, we don't know the Bible, but man, we knew that, right? Like, all right. Now here's the thing. What's really interesting is that, probably a lot of us, like, we probably did decent at that game. My guess is that most people knew half of those. Like, you probably knew at least four of those answers. And isn't it interesting how we know famous TV neighbors? But here's my opening question today. How well do we know our actual neighbors? Like, how well do we know the people who live in the proximity closest to us? We're going to find out right now. Here's what I want you to do. When you walked in today, you were handed a program that has one of these in there. Or if you use the app and you said, no, I don't need a program, they still gave you one of these. Everybody get it out. Go ahead and get that out. Some of you are just looking at me. I'll wait. All right. I get paid by the minute, so we got all day. Go ahead and get that thing out. And here's what I want you to do. On the side that says, I Heart Chula Vista, it's all good in the hood. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you about 45 seconds to just write the name. Don't write facts. Don't write story. I want you to write the name of the 8 closest houses, condos, apartments, if you're a college student, dorm rooms around you. All right? And we're going to see how well we all do. And if you came as a family, you can do this together, all right? If you're here as a couple, you can do this together. If you're here by yourself, you just go ahead and do that. And I'm going to give you about 45 seconds. If you're online, it's going to go quiet because we're going to play some music to write by that legally we can't broadcast over the air, okay? So 45 seconds, work as a couple or an individual, write the name down, ready, go.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Just the name.
It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Would you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
All right, time's up, time's up. Now, if you still are like, oh, I gotta finish this, don't worry. I'm going to give you time because this is really important to us, not just today, but really what we're going to be talking about and doing this entire series. Now, let me give you a grade, whether you know you pass or you fail. Let's say, okay, there's what do we got? 3, 6, 8 around you. If you had at least 4 or 5, you pass. All right. Now, here's my guess. There's probably a lot of us that didn't pass. And I know looking back at the different places I've lived at different seasons in my life, there's been times I've done this better and times I've done this worse. There'd be seasons in my life that I go, ooh, when I lived in that spot, I failed. And other times where it was like, all right, I'm actually doing pretty good there. And I understand the unique challenges of this, depending on kind of where we live, the stage of life that we're in. There's unique challenges to being somebody in San Diego County when it comes to this. I remember when my wife and I lived in an apartment here in Chula Vista for a long time, that the apartment next to us changed. There were 5 different families that lived in there at some point in 2 years. And so, just to keep track of who's living there right now, I mean, we'd often forget. Also, we are a military community, right? That means many of our friends, the government moves them here, and then 3 years later, the government sends them somewhere else. And so there's some inherent challenges when you're in a community, military community, and those kind of things happen. But if you look at this and go, all we asked for was the names, but there's an opportunity there to write the facts and the story. Meaning, do you know the name of their kids? Do you know their place of work? Those are their facts, right? Do you know their story? Like what was it that brought them to San Diego in the first place? Kind of, what are their hopes and dreams as a family? Well, like, what are some of their hobbies? What are their goals? And here's the reality. My guess is most of us, if we looked at how much we knew about the 8 people that live the closest to us, we'd be amazed at how little we actually know our real neighbors. And today we begin this new series that I'm really excited about because what it's going to do for us is it's going to individually lead us to getting to know our actual neighbors better, ultimately so we can bless them. And then it's gonna lead us collectively as a faith community to know the needs of our city better. Why? So that we can love our city better and bless our city. You see, this idea of being present in the neighborhood and making yourself known to others is exactly what Jesus did when he became one of us and stepped into our world here on earth. Our theme verse for the series that talks about this is John chapter 1. And we're gonna read it together out of the Message translation. And we're gonna read it out loud together, but let me just explain one thing. At the beginning of it, it says the Word. That's another name for Jesus. The Greek there is logos. It means the one, the Word. And so when it's saying the Word became flesh, it's saying God became man. Jesus became one of us. And so that this idea of being present in the neighborhood is actually what God did with us. And so let's read this out loud together, John 1:14. Ready, begin. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. John is saying that when Jesus showed up, he came into our hood. He came into our neighborhood. He came into our mess. Why? Ultimately, to show us what God looks like, right? Like Father, like Son. That Jesus showed up and he said, you know what? I'm going to show you what real love looks like. He was generous inside and out. He was true from start to finish. And you see, when Jesus showed up, one of the things that Jesus came to do is to show us a new way of living and loving that he called the kingdom of God. Jesus taught radical ideas in a segregated, brutal first century culture. Jesus taught radical ideas that upset kind of the normal social constructs, that he said, you know what, everybody matters to God, and it doesn't matter what race or culture you're from. In a very kind of segregated, racist culture that he stepped into in the Middle East. And he said, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, insider or outsider, that everybody matters and everyone's equal. In a society that treated women as less than men, Jesus was radical. And he said, you know what? There is no gender in the kingdom of God. Everybody matters. Everybody is equal, man and woman. In a society that was separated by the haves and have not, Jesus said, it doesn't matter whether you have a lot or a little, everybody is welcome into my kingdom. You see, everywhere that Jesus went, he blessed people, bringing love and peace and healing and to people and places that needed it most. And Jesus gave the same mission that he had to his followers. Jesus said that his followers should be people of peace. The Hebrew word for that is shalom. It means the peace of God, the wholeness of God, the prosperity of God, the completeness of God. And God's vision from the beginning is that every single person, that God would bless his people and that his people would be people of peace that bring the peace of God into the places that we go in this world. That we are bringing God's peace and wholeness and kindness and completeness to the broken people and places in our world. And so here's what we need to understand. If we're going to love our city the way Jesus loved his city, if we're going to love our city, we must understand this. Write this down. That we are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. We are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. If you are a Jesus person, you are a sent person into all three of those spaces, where you live, where you work, where you play. And you are sent there to bless people. Let me just say welcome to all of our churches that are joining in, everybody online today too. And also a special shout out, if you're here today and you're not a Jesus person and you're just checking this thing out, man, thank you for giving church a chance. I'm so glad you're here. Because this is a great week for you as somebody that will go, dude, I'm not kind of in yet. I'm just here checking this thing out. What a great opportunity for you to have a front row seat to hear today how Jesus people should be living in their neighborhoods, on their jobs, and the places that they go for fun, all right? And so, cool opportunity for you. Also, if you're here and you're not a Jesus person, this would be great ammunition for you to use against Jesus people someday. Seriously, like if you got that person in your office and you're like, I think they said they're a Christian, but they're really mean. Oh, you should get them on Monday using what I'm going to tell you. You should go to them on Monday and just go, you know, I went to church this weekend. And first of all, they're probably so self-righteous, they'll go, you went to church? And you go, yeah, I went to this church, and they said that Jesus people are supposed to be the most generous, kind people that bless people everywhere they go. And then look at them and just go, and you are stingy and mean. You are not following Jesus. And then just walk away. It'll be really awesome, okay? You should totally do that. But seriously, if you're here and you're not a Jesus person, this is good information to, you know, for you to know how Jesus people should be living. And if you are a Jesus person, you need to understand that every moment of your life is meant to be lived on mission with Jesus. That when you go to work, it's an opportunity to represent Jesus. When you live in the neighborhood, it's an opportunity to not just represent Jesus, but to do what Jesus did, which is bless people everywhere that he went. You see, Jesus gave his first followers this command that they are sent people, and that command carries on to you and I. Here's what Jesus said to his very first followers. Here's what he said when he sent them out. Jesus came and told his disciples, that's his followers, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. In other words, Jesus said to his original disciples, hey, I taught you how to live and love in this new way called the kingdom of God. And you're supposed to be people that bring the kingdom of God into the kingdom of the world. Now, go help other people do the same. Go help other people live better, bringing the kingdom of God, the shalom of God, the peace of God, the prosperity of God to the people of this world. That's what Jesus' followers are supposed to do. And Jesus said, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so Jesus sent his first disciples, and we are sent into every sphere of society. And it is actually from this verse that we get our 25-year mission that we've been doing for 25 years now in this community. What is the mission of East Lake Church? Here's the way we say it all the time. This isn't a fill-in, but you can just see it. East Lake Church is people helping people find and follow Jesus. That's what we've been doing in this city for 25 years. People helping people find and follow Jesus. It's that original mission. And how cool to think that we are just one piece of a link of chain going all the way back to those original disciples. People who have helped people, who have helped people, who have helped people find and follow Jesus. We're a part of that original story, of that original mission. That if you're a Jesus person, you are a sent person. But here's the amazing thing. We are not sent out in our world to judge. We are not sent out in our world, you know, to tell people that they're not following the Jesus rules well enough. No, we are sent people to bless people. That's what Jesus did. And this idea of blessing, it is a central part of the scripture story that actually goes all the way back to the beginning. God's plan for blessing the world has always been this, that he would first bless his people, and then he would use his people to bless the world. This has always been God's plan. It goes all the way back to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 12. God speaks to this guy, Abraham, that ultimately through him and his descendants would be the nation of Israel, that he would bless the earth during that time, what is called the Old Covenant, through the nation of Israel. And here's the promise that God, the original promise that God made to him. And I want you to see it. Here's what God said to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. God says, I'm going to bless you, but not just so you and your family can go, wow, look at all this. But it's actually through you that I'm going to bless everyone else. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And so this idea of blessing, it is central to the way that God works. And then after Jesus showed up, that blessing and promise changed from what's called the Old Covenant through the nation of Israel to what's called the New Covenant, that God would bless all the people through the nations of the earth through Jesus, and then ultimately through Christ's church. That's you and that's me. And so we are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. You are meant to be a conduit, a conductor of God's blessing, where it comes to you and through you, not a grounder of God's blessing, where you just hold on to all of it. When I was in middle school, we lived outside of town, actually across the street from a farm, and that farmer had horses. And right across, my dad wasn't a farmer, but we lived out in the country near a farm, and those horses were kept in a corral that wasn't a big wooden fence, it was one wire that went around the corral. And you know what that one wire was? An electric fence. And so what does a junior high boy do when he sees an electric fence, right? It's like, oh, this is going to be fun for hours. So I remember multiple times, like my friends would come over and, you know, junior high boys, our brains are not fully formed then, right? So parents, give us some mercy and some grace. And, you know, we were like, dude, who can touch the fence? Let's go over there and see who can touch the fence. And so we took our aluminum baseball bat from Little League over there. And we're like, all right, who's got the guts to touch the fence first? And this is what junior high boys do, okay? And so we go over there, and sure enough, like I didn't have the guts to go first, but my friend Brian did. And so he went first and he touched it. And when he did, boom, I mean, it shot all the way through. He let go of the bat. He's jumping around like this, you know, but he lived for the next half hour anyway. But no, he lived. And so then he was like, all right, who's going to do it next? And then you can't be shown up by your friend. So then, of course, it was my turn now. And then I had to do it. And then our friend Ryan had to do it. And so we all did it. Then we remembered what we were taught in science class, that electricity, like you as a person, are a conductor of electricity. And we thought, dude, what would happen if one of us touched the bat on the electric fence and we all hold hands? This will be awesome. And so sure enough, man, we all grab hands and Brian's got the bat and he's like, all right, ready. 1, 2, 3, you know, like, and there's no lingering effects from that either, right? Like, why do we do these dumb things? But we learned that day that electricity, like, dude, human beings, we are conduits. Like, we don't ground it. If we're touching something else, that keeps going into us and through us. And that is a great picture of how God's blessing is supposed to work. You are supposed to be a conduit, a conductor of God's blessing. Not everything that comes to you is just for you, but God blesses you so that you can be a blessing to other people. This has always been God's plan. You see, God blesses us with his love. So then in a world that is divided and hostile, depending on what side of the aisle of politics or whatever else that you're on, in a world that is divided and hostile, the Jesus people can love others unconditionally because we've been loved unconditionally. God blesses us with forgiveness in a world and a culture that says, man, if they wronged you, it's your right to hate them and hold on to that hurt, you know, because of what they did. God blesses us with his forgiveness so that we in turn can model to a broken world what forgiveness looks like when people hurt us. God blesses us with his joy internally, no matter what is going on in our circumstances, that we have this reservoir to draw joy from so that we can be an encourager and bless people everywhere we go. God blesses us with more resources than we need so that we in turn can give back to him and bless people who are in real need. This is the way God's kingdom works. You are a sent person to bless people everywhere you go. And so we have a couple questions that we want to both ask and answer of ourselves during this series. Here's the first one. Write this down. What if every church blessed every city? I mean, what would happen if every single church said, you know what, one of the core reasons we exist is not just for ourselves. It's not to kind of, you know, keep our Jesus in here and keep us safe from the bad old world out there. No, what if every church said one of the reasons we exist is to bless our city and make it better? Do you think the reputation of churches would be better and increase for even people who don't go to church? I mean, think about that. We probably have, you know, a couple thousand churches just in Chula Vista. We don't think we're the only church. We don't think we're the best church. We are for every church that preaches Jesus and lifts him up high. But what if every single church, you know, hundreds of churches, probably tens of thousands of Christians said, yeah, that's why we exist. And that leads to the second question. What if every Christian blessed every neighbor? Because we're never going to do it at the macro level, right? Like the organizational level, if we're not all doing it at the individual level, like actually on our streets. I mean, how might streets and apartment complexes and neighborhoods be different if we all did this? I mean, what if people in every neighborhood or complex knew one another by name and we knew their stories and we knew their hopes and dreams? You know what I think would happen? I think we'd care for one another a little better. I think we'd look out for one another a little bit more. And don't you think the world would be a little different and a little better if we all just did this one thing? Because Jesus said it actually is the second most important thing. Jesus was asked of all the laws and all the rules, what's the most important? And Jesus said, well, the first is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, the second is actually just like it. It's pretty much equal. And then he said these words, love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, what if Jesus actually meant our real neighbors? Right? I mean, it's top two. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, don't you think like our city would be better if every person that says they follow Jesus, we all actually did this? And I'm preaching to myself here. Because as I got ready for this, I looked at it and I was like, oh man, this last season, I've been busy. I've been running around a lot. And it's like, man, I haven't made myself available to the people that live closest to me. I've missed some hangout opportunities. I've missed some conversation opportunities. And this is something that I want to do better. This is something we can all do. And so what I want to do real quick is I want to give you a real simple strategy that we adopted last year that said, here's how we are going to do this as a church. How are we going to bless the people where we live, where we work, and where we play? And BLESS is an acronym that simply stands for, it's five simple rhythms to live and love like Jesus, okay? This is how we're gonna do it as a church, because we're not gonna be the church that takes the picket signs to the concerts and says, turn or burn in Jesus' name, right? Like, we ain't that group. We're also not gonna be the church that says, okay, next week, everybody show up here, 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, let's go knock on strangers' doors, because I hate that too, all right? So we ain't doing that. So what are we doing? I mean, how are we going to tell the Jesus story from the way that we live and love? Here's how. We're going to bless people where we live, work, and play. What does that mean? I'm so glad you asked. Write this down. Here's what it means. We begin with prayer. Bless means we begin with prayer. We don't just start talking about Jesus. We pray for people. We begin to pray for our neighbors. We pray for our coworkers, even the mean ones. We pray for our teachers at school, even the ones you don't like, right? Like we pray, that's what we do. We pray for them. Here's why prayer is so important. Because prayer doesn't just change those people out there. It changes you in here. That's what prayer does. And so we begin with prayer. And I'm gonna tell you a really cool tool. And we're all gonna commit today to pray for all of our neighbors and coworkers every day from now through the end of this series. Okay, I'll tell you about that. So we begin with prayer. Then L, we listen. Some of you are like, okay, we pray and then we talk. No. We listen. Every person you know, including yourself, wants somebody who cares enough about them just to listen. To listen to their hopes, to listen to their dreams, to listen to their challenges, to listen to their concerns. And so we listen. And the only way you can listen is by sharing life together, right? By having conversations. Hey, what are their challenges? What are the things they're going through with their kids? What are the things that they're facing on their job? What are the things that are happening in their relationships? Because when you begin to listen, you actually can pray for the people that you begin to care about better. And so we begin with prayer. Then we listen. I love this next one. I'm really good at it. We eat. That is actually a spiritual practice. Now, let me be clear. Sharing a meal with someone else or another family to get to know them is a spiritual practice. Eating a gallon of ice cream by yourself is a satanic activity, okay? Not a spiritual practice. And I might or might not take part in that activity once in a while and then ask for forgiveness later, okay? So we share a meal, and this simply means sharing life. And let me just say this, people are not projects. We don't do this to try to go, ooh, you know, I'm doing this, you know, just so that I can someday tell them about Jesus. And then if they don't like Jesus, I move on, I cut that friendship off and go to the next one. This is not some Jesus pyramid scheme, okay? Like this is simply sharing life to become friends with no strings attached. That I will be friends with the people that God puts in my life, whether they ever come to church with me or not, and I invite them. That I'll be, no strings attached, like we're friends, we care for one another, we love. This is the way of Jesus. And so we begin with prayer, we listen, we eat. And then when you're doing this with people, here's what you can do. You can begin to serve them because you know what their needs are. And you serve with no strings attached. This is the blessed part. You bless them. Hey, I heard you say that, man, you guys haven't had a chance to go on a date for a really long time because you're in that stage with a bunch of little kids. Bring your kids over to our house on Friday night, play with our kids, we'll watch them. You guys go on a date. We just want to bless you. That's how simple this is. You know, hey, I remember you saying you have that project in your backyard that you haven't been able to get to. I'm gonna bring my tools over this Saturday. You and I can probably knock that out in an hour. Let's do that. You bless them. And then here's what I know, because I've seen this work in my life. If you are praying for people, you're listening to them, you're sharing life with them, you serve them, there will be natural God opportunities that present themselves regularly for you to share the Jesus story and your Jesus story. And you won't have to force it. It won't be awkward because you're just simply sharing life with them. So here's what we're gonna do for the next couple weeks. We're gonna talk through how do we do this really well. And so today as we end, I just wanna take a moment and talk about this one, begin in prayer. And the reason prayer is so important to start, here's why, go ahead and write this down, is because prayer is both how we discover our mission and how we do our mission. Prayer is how we discover our mission and how we do our mission. You see, prayer is what makes us aware of the God opportunities around us every day. I want to ask you to begin every day of your week with this little prayer starting tomorrow. God, help me see the opportunities around me today to bless people. God, help me see the opportunities around me today to bless people. Because here's what I know will happen. If you will start to pray that, you will begin to see people and situations in your work a little bit differently. You'll begin to see people and situations in your neighborhood, in your apartment complex, at your school, in your dorm room, college student. You'll be able to see those situations a little bit differently. You'll begin to see them as opportunities not to just complain, but opportunities to go, man, let me bring some shalom. Let me be a person of peace. Let me bless. Let me make a difference in this situation. You are going to begin to see those opportunities if you will begin to pray. And so the reason you need to start praying to say, God, help me see those opportunities is because God is always working. God is always moving. And what we need to do is simply pray, God, help me see where you are working and where you are moving. And so here's a great closing question for us today. It's a great prayer. God, where are you already working, where I live, work, and play? And how do I join you? Because I think a lot of us Christians, we pray some weird prayers. That, you know, God in his mercy, he knows what we're trying to say, but he's like, come on, man, right? Like I think some of the times we pray, God, would you move? You know, God, would you work? And he's like, I already am. All the time. Would you open your eyes and see it? Would you open your ears to hear it? I mean, God's always drawing people to himself. And so our prayer needs to be, God, let me not ask you to move. Let me find out where you're already moving. Who are you already working on in my neighborhood? But because I never have a conversation, I don't know that, God, you're putting circumstances into place to maybe cause them to consider and look at you and investigate their spiritual life. God, who are you working on in my office? Who are you drawing to yourself? God, where are you working in the school and how can I be a part of it? This is what this is all about. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want to ask everybody, as we close this out today, I'm going to invite the band to come up. We're going to share a closing song with you. It's a great prayer. I'm going to tell you about it in a second. But I want to ask everybody here today to do four things. Here's how you can apply this message to your life, and here's four things I want you to do. Number one, be here each of the next 2 weeks. We're going to teach you how to do this, how to live this blessed lifestyle, okay? How do we bless people where we live, work, and play? You're already here week number one. Way to go. Two more to go. So be here every week. Number two, pray for your neighbors every single day during the series. And so I want you to take this and I want you to fill out as much of this information as you can during the series. All right? I'm sorry, I messed this up. So I want you to actually get to know, so number one, be here. Number two, get to know your neighbors, because some of you can only write down two names. Now don't be weird. Don't put a lawn chair in their driveway and go, okay, they're not getting in the driveway and closing the door until they talk to me. Tell them you're a Mormon or something if you do that, but you don't go to church here. Don't be weird, all right? So that wasn't in my notes, just in case you're wondering. But get to know your neighbors. So number one, be here. Number two, get to know your neighbors better. All right, look for not, maybe you see them outside. Just be stealth. Act like you're going to get the mail. Hey, how's it going? Right? Like, don't be weird, but get to know them a little bit. Get to know their story. Maybe invite somebody over. Host a party. Get crazy, all right? So number one, be here. Number two, get to know your neighbors. Number three, pray for your neighbors every day. Everybody turn this little sheet over. I gave you a great way to pray for your neighbors. Bless. You can actually pray through body, labor, emotional, social, spiritual. There are five ways for you to pray for your neighbors. Take this, begin to pray for them every day during the series, and watch what God does in you and through you. And then here's the fourth thing. Will you serve with us? The last weekend of this series, we shut this thing down and we go out there and we bless our city. Last year, here's what we were able to do. This is amazing. Last year, 3,000 people served, and in one weekend, we donated 11,600 hours of community service to Chula Vista. Here's the cool thing. That was history-making last year. It was the single largest community service weekend in the history of our city. That's what we did last year, all right? Yeah, that's awesome. But we want to do more this year. So here's what we're going to do this year. This year, we've opened up an additional 1,000 serving spaces. We have over 200 service projects. They're already filling up fast. We can handle 4,000. If this fills up, we will even be able to add more. And if we get this many people that volunteer on just one service project, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday on that weekend, we will be at just about 16,000 hours of community service, again, making history in our city. that the group of people that have volunteered on a single weekend for the most community service hours in the history of our city is a church. I think that's a great thing. Now, here's what I need. I need you to serve. I need your kids to serve with you. And the other cool thing about opening up more space, this is a great thing to invite your friends and neighbors into as well. Because I have friends that I've invited to church and they're like, dude, the building will fall down if I come in there. Trust me, you don't want me to come. And they're like, dude, I'm not a church person, right? But we're friends. And I'm living this way with them. I'm serving them. I know them. We eat together. We share life together. And they might not come to a service with me, but I know if I invite my neighbors and I invite their family to serve with my family on a community service project that weekend, that they'll do it. Because they're generous people. They're kind people. They'd love to be a part of something like that. You have friends like that too. And so look for an opportunity to go, man, what a great thing to bring my friends into, some of my coworkers into. And go, dude, our church is trying to make history. Single largest weekend of community service hours given to our city through hundreds of projects. Why don't you join us? You can get them involved in it too. So be here, get to know your neighbors, pray for your neighbors, and let's all serve together at the end of the series. All right, I want you to hear this song. It's called The World Needs Jesus. And this is a great prayer that I've been listening to on repeat for like the last 2 weeks. I've been playing this thing out in my prayer times, on my prayer walks. It's a great prayer of who I want to be as a person. It's who I want you to be as a Jesus follower in your neighborhood, in this city. It's who I want my kids to be on their public school campuses. And so I want you to just stay seated during this first part of the song, listen to it. Then we're going to be invited at the end to stand, sing along, and then I'll come back out and dismiss us, okay? Let me pray right now. God, I thank you that when you invite us into your family, that you charge us as a son or a daughter of God to invite other people into the family. That it's not about us, but it's about you and your kingdom. And God, as your children, that we would bring some of your kingdom, some of the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of this earth. And so God, I thank you for a church that has a desire to serve and love our city well. And God, help us do that individually. Help us serve and love our neighbors better as a result of what we're going to talk about and what we're going to learn over the next couple of weeks. And God, we do that for your glory and for your honor, that your name would be great. And so God, this is our prayer as a church right now. God, work in our hearts. Amen.
When our homes are hit by heartbreak, let your presence meet us there. When the pain seems overwhelming, we hold on to you. Oh, when the streets are torn by chaos, we will be your hands and feet. When the darkness screams division, may we be your light. 'Cause we know that our world needs Jesus. We know that our world needs freedom. So give us eyes to see the hurt and the broken. Let our lives align with every word you say. When the nations ache from violence, we will be your blessed peace. When the headlines scream injustice, may we shout your name. Say, So give us eyes to see the hurting and the broken. And let our lives align with every word you say. So as we sing the next part, I invite you to stand up and declare this with us with one voice. We come together as a body of Christ and say, every heart turns to Him. Declare it this morning. So let every heart turn to Jesus. Every voice. Let every voice sing of Your great name. Let all the earth know Your freedom. 'Cause we believe for more. So let every heart turn to Jesus. Every voice. Let every voice sing of Your great name. Let all the earth know Your freedom. We believe for more. We believe for more. 'Cause we know that our world meets Jesus. And we know. That our world needs freedom. So give us eyes to see the hurting and the broken. And let our lives align with every word You say. 'Cause we know that our world needs Jesus. And we know that our to see the hurting and the broken, and let our lives align with every word You say. And I know I need You, Jesus. And I know it's hard. Needs healing, so from my knees I lift this prayer to You, my Savior. And for my life and for the world, You're the answer, Jesus.